kind of wish that was on a thing you just keep playing over and over and again. Put it on a loop. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Great. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I am glad to be in church today. I'm always glad to be in church. I tell you what, that about shook me up a couple of weeks ago when I couldn't come on Wednesday night. That's tough. I don't like that a bit. That messes up your whole week. You don't know where you're at. And, we're creatures of habit, amen? And they say the older you get, the more habit you like to be in. And so, amen. Make it your habit. Be in church. Don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. Let's stand to read God's Word tonight, Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to speak on the three temptations of Jesus Christ. When I read this, it feels like I'm rooting for Jesus, you know? You get mad at Satan, what he's doing to him, you know. And to think that he questions the Lord God. And he knows better, because he knows he is God. But he still does it. And what breaks my heart. And I don't like it a bit. Then where Jesus lived, remember, he has just been baptized. Holy Spirit descends as a dove on and lands on him. And lights on him, lighting on him, the Bible says. And a voice of heaven, verse 17 of chapter 3, saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Shouldn't be any question about who he is, amen? Man, no question. I mean, this is it, right here. Now look at chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written," see, Satan knows how to use the scripture, "he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again the devil taking him into the exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, "All these things give I thee." First of all, they're not his to give. Amen? "If thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him. Hallelujah, glory to God. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I've read that over a bunch of times today. How must it have been? You know, he's 40 days without food. And then this temptation. Also, over in Mark, it talks about how that Mark said that he was out in the wilderness and the wild beast. But those angels came. Boy, I'll tell you what. Hey, who do you think was happiest to see them? I think the angels were happy to see their Jesus. Amen. Huh? Wow. Ministered unto him. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord Jesus, to understand the wiles and the tricks of the devil and how he wants to destroy us, how he wants to destroy Christ. The Lord God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, I command Satan and the imps of hell to get behind us tonight. Lord, it would be a great time tonight as we look at the wonderful God that we serve in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. From the beginning of Christ's earthly life, there were countless reaffirmations that He was God. He was the Son of God. At His conception, birth, early life, the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would conceive the Son of God, of the Holy Ghost. Gabriel came to Joseph and told him not to fear taking her unto him, that the Holy Ghost was implanted in her, had implanted her the Son of God. The angels came to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Said, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The wise men came to the house, maybe 2 years later, in Bethlehem. And they said, they came to Jerusalem first. They said, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. The trip to Jerusalem that Jesus Christ and His family made to the temple when He was 12. Luke chapter 2, verse 46, beginning in the last part of it. They found Him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and answering questions, and all heard Him, were astonished at His understanding and answers. Now remember, how old is He? 12 years old. We have any 12-year-olds here tonight? How old is Marcus? 9? When he gets 12, he'll be doing that, amen? And when they saw Him, they were amazed, and His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, how is it that thou sought me? Wouldst ye not that I must be about my father's business? Yeah. At the baptism of John at Jordan, the voice of God proclaimeth that He was His beloved Son, the Holy Spirit of God, in the form of a dove, perched upon Him and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. All these infallible proofs prove that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. In fact, we shouldn't need any more. In Matthew chapter 3, Mark chapter 1, and Luke chapter 3, we pick up the account of Christ's beginning ministry. And Jesus has come from Galilee to be baptized. Some commentaries believe He walked 75 miles to get baptized and walked back home 75 miles. I suppose if Jesus Christ thinks it's important to be baptized, aren't you glad you got baptized last Sunday? I'm going to preach this tonight. Amen. He came to John, and John did not want to baptize Him. He said, I need to be baptized with you. And John had observed the life of Jesus Christ and knew that He lived a life of righteousness and holiness. And he said, I'm not even worthy to unlash in your shoes. That's who Jesus Christ was. I hear so much people talking about, well, you know, it doesn't make a difference how I live. Doesn't make a difference how I dress. Doesn't make a difference what I do, what I say. Yes, it does. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We should have the mind of Christ. We should act and talk and be like Jesus Christ. He came to John. He said, baptize me. When the baptism took place and when He came up out of the water, all heaven broke loose. The heavens opened. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove, rested upon Him. The voice of heaven cried out, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. After the baptism, the Holy Spirit tells us that He rushed into the wilderness. And by the Spirit of God, He was for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. He was hungry. Jesus doubtly also suffered mentally. Have you ever been alone very long? If alone? He was alone. What a harrowing and a dreadful experience it must have been. Mark shows in his gospel a little clip of the temptation experience when he says in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. The question I have when reading the account of the temptation is, what a diabolical method or plan did Satan use to try to get Jesus Christ to fail and to sin? And by the way, if he used that on the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think he does on us? Heaven's shrewdest enemy, meeting the precious Son of God, subtle against the truth, so ridiculously spiteful, up against the most merciful and most daring, against the perfect one, Jesus Christ. The devil, he does not play by the rules. For he has no set of rules. He does not play fair. He does not care. He has no mercy nor grace. He has had a lot of time. He has had a lot of practice. He has no love. He cares for no one. He is greedy. He is a liar, an accuser of the brethren. He is ruthless and relentless, and he is a murderer. James tells us he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to ruin us. He wants to do everything he can to ruin us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. There in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ meets the arch enemy of heaven. Now, all his power, can you imagine what the Son of God went through having to deal with this arch enemy, Satan? You see, God had already cast one third of the angels out of heaven. How he was to deal with him again? He has to deal with him. Sometimes in our lives we have to deal with certain things over and over and over and over again, don't we? It's just a constant thing. I think Scripture says that they said that we're supposed to be careful of the things that so easily beset us. In my prayer time, I say, Lord God, there's some things that just come on me just like that. Where in the world did that come from? I know that none of you have that problem. This time, Jesus is a man, an incarnate in the flesh. This was a real combat and conflict with a real personal enemy, the devil. This was not a mere inward vision or dream or mental suggestion, nor the method of Satan's limited to the merely outward and visible. Satan was present. He was visible form, making use of the method both inward and outward, subjecting and objective to gain the preeminence over the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, there's an interesting note that says the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil. The wiles. W-I-L-E-S. Wiles comes from the Greek word methodia. The English transliterated that word to give us the new word for our English language, and we use the word method. Methodia. Method. If you're looking out, spell it M-E-T-H, like meth, some of you take. Methodia. M-E-T-H-O-D-E-I-A. Thought I'd wake you up. Some of you going like, alright. When the King James translator translated it from the Greek word to the English, they understood literally what it meant. The methodia had a little bit more to it than just a method. This is what it means. He lies in wait. He has his wiles or his methods. He has charm. He will entice. He will scheme. It means beware of his craftiness, his maneuvers, his cunning arts. Beware of deceit and his trickery. That one little methodia, that's what that all means. And they're hard to put that all in, so they made a new word called method. We also find the word devil. Originally, it means an adversary, an accuser, an opponent, one who opposes. In fact, the enemy of any kind as an adversary. The name adversary was translated to describe the devil in the Scriptures. He, the leader of evil angels, the title characterized him. It meant full of subtlety, envy, art, hatred of mankind. He is known also by the name of Satan, Beelzebub, the old serpent, and the prince of power of the air. That's why we have so much trouble today. He is still the prince of power of this air. And it's not a It's not a fictitious or a what do you call it? A fairy tale. It's true. I know it's true. I deal with him all the time. Just as a side note, amazing, the name the devil was sometimes used in Scripture to describe men and women. When they are truth speakers, that word truth speaker means devil. When they are slanderers, when they talk bad about somebody else that they shouldn't be talking about, God says you're a devil. The next time you start slandering somebody and talking about somebody, you better be careful. There's a lot of devils out today on TV, amen? Let President Trump get a hold of this. He'll probably use it. I'm trying to keep you awake tonight, amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3:11, even so must their wives be grave, not devils or slanderers. That's talking about the deacon's wives, okay? Sober, faithful in all things. Satan's method or purpose in the temptation was aimed to get Christ to lose hope in his personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. And how many times in my life and how many times in your life, Satan uses that to get us to question our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You who question your salvation, you who wonder about it all the time, you know what's happening? Satan is getting into you. That's what he's doing. He's messing with you. He's messing you so that you will not believe that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God, Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, Satan was trying to tempt him to get him to question his personal relationship with his Heavenly Father. Listen how the devil addresses the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God. If. When it came to that, came up and just said, hey, you're not really Sherry's daughter. James is not your dad. Here it is, Satan wants Christ to question his relationship with Father. Most of my family are very dark-headed, tan a lot. We didn't know this until just a couple of years ago. Somebody did that, stick yourself or spit on something and send it in to somebody, the DNA test, and we happen to be Shawnee Indian. They had no idea. And I couldn't figure out why I turned so brown in the summer. Boy, I get up in the sun. Somebody said the other day, said, man, you're really dark. I said, dark? I said, man, you ain't seen dark until I get out in the sun, amen. And anyway, when my little sister Lois was born, she was a fair-haired, snow-white, blonde little hair girl. Her beautiful complexion was white. It wasn't dark, it was white. My sister Marilyn, if you see a picture of her, you can tell she's got that Indian high cheekbone face, and my sister Sharon, and me. But my sister Lois, I'm telling you, they missed something in the DNA there. And she's as white can be. I mean, she can't go outside. She just burned. I mean, this way, we go outside and we just barbecue, amen. And one day, and pardon me for forgetting what my older sister and younger sister were fussing about, but Sharon said, you're not one of us. Mama picked up the wrong baby at the hospital nursery. That was not good. In fact, that was pretty mean. And Lois ran crying to Mama. She's probably about 5 years old. And she cried and cried and cried. For the longest time, that little remark hurt that little girl in her mind and cut her like a sword. Oh, it hurt her heart. You see, when the devil can get us to question our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that'll cut us. Am I saved? Am I really saved? Did I say the right words? Did I repent enough? And on, you know. You know what? That's mean. And Satan wants to be mean because he knows he can cripple us when we're not sure we're saved. You go out and tell something about Jesus Christ, the greatest thing ever happened to your life. You got saved. God came into your heart and saved your soul. And you're telling that to somebody else. Deep down inside in the back there, you're saying, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. What did the deceiver say? If thou be the Son. Oh, come on. He was the Son of God. All through from the time of His birth, all the time to His beginning, and even at the baptism, God said, you are my Son. He in fact said, listen to Him. Second temptation was aimed at the question of His Heavenly Father's goodness to Him. Sometimes we have that. Jesus was hungered. And the devil said, turn this stone into bread, tempting him to distrust his father, care for him. Tempting him to distrust his father for concerning him. Not enough. Not enough food to eat. Well, I know some people who do that. They don't have enough fuel. They don't have enough kids' food. They don't have enough kids' clothes. That's a method of Satan. It's a wild side. Look, if God really loved you, He'd be giving you that new thing, or He'd be providing for that. And now you're just scrimping, and you know which way to turn, and what's it doing? We're questioning God, our Heavenly Father's goodness to us. You know, sometimes getting things is not good for us. I remember a family back in my hometown, and good church members. Hey, brother, Pastor Rick, they were there every Sunday, but they got some horses. And when you have horses, you've got to ride horses. And so all of a sudden, you start to see them missing church. 3 or 4 years ago, they couldn't afford horses, but they finally got some horses. Another family got a brand new boat. And they got a cottage up on the lake. And they couldn't drive back and forth to church because it was kind of far away up in Michigan. And so all of a sudden, you see them falling off. Hey, ask me where their kids are going to church today. They're not. See, this is what a kid thinks. If this is more important than church, then I guess it's not important to me. They know. They know exactly. They know it, you know. It's bad enough to get kids that their parents want to serve God, let alone when the parents are going against it. All the methods of Satan to take advantage of our outward condition. Not many of us eat steak. We eat ramen noodles. It's made me so mad. Somebody said they're not good for you. Is that true? They say they stay in your stomach for 3 days. I think that'd be a good idea. You wouldn't get just eat one day, and I don't know what my trucker friends say about ramen noodles. Hey, you know. You eat ramen noodles? Yeah, man. Brother, keep it up, brother. It'll make you grow hair. All right. When Satan brings you difficulties and you have gone through emergencies and you go through crisis, you'd better get ready for the wiles of the devil, because he's going to target you. And he said, yeah, you know, if he really loved you, he wouldn't let me go through that. Well, if you really served him, you know. I see Brother Heidenreich. He can't be here because he's having some real health problems again for our mission conference. I remember going over there about maybe 15 years ago, and he was almost dying. He had kidney stones and some other thing going on in his liver, and I thought we were going to bury him over there. That man giving himself, living in the jungles for years, same way with his wife, gave everything they had. I know the Ortezes, man, that was a pretty rough place to live for 12 years, 13 years. It's a rough place. Give themselves to that kind of stuff. And Satan will use that and say, look at here, you've given your life to serve God, and look at how He's treated you. Well, you go to church every Sunday. Look at those people. They hardly come to church, but, boy, they got the new trucks, they got the new motorcycles, they got new snowmobiles, they got new four-wheelers, they got the new guns, they got, you name it, they've got it. Boy, if God really loved you, If you really had a great personal relationship, no, wait a minute. That is one of the rules of Satan that's trying to get you to question whether or not he loves you or not. It has always been Satan's trick to make man believe in bread. Bread represents material substance and prosperity. Bread is the supreme thing of life. Lost money in the stock market and financial plans? Too bad you didn't give your money to some missionary or some church project. I know a family that went for a long time and put a lot of money in the stock market. And they lost it all. I think of the people in Jerusalem. First Church of Jerusalem. Do you know what happened in 70 AD? What happened? Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman government. Destroyed. Think of those people who were there in the church of Jerusalem if they would have just given their substance away then. Sometimes we hold on to stuff and we just, you know. I still remember that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and I said it this morning. I'll say it again. And give us this day our daily bread. Note every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by, what does it say there? Every word. Every word. That's why I have a hard time when you people grabbing a different kind of Bible instead of a King James. You don't have every word. I want every word of God. Stay the course, men. Never give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give it away. I was at a meeting and these guys says, "Well, it's not that important." They're discussing whether or not to use the King James and use the ESV or the, I don't know what they call it, but and use that and that. And it's so much easier to learn and so much easier. Well, if it's so much easier to learn, I don't hardly hear anybody memorizing scriptures anymore. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about churches that have changed different Bibles. Every word. What a great example for our battles with Satan. Christ used the Word of God. He says, "It is written." Christ appealed to that was written in the Scripture. The method that we must take is when at any time we are tempted to sin, we should use the Scriptures. You ought to have the Scripture in your mind. You ought to be in there. You ought to be in there. Because you don't have time to look it up. It ought to be in there. Amen. The second temptation, Satan tempted Christ to presume upon his Father's power and protection in a point of safety. Satan has no object to use holy places as the scene of his assault. Look at where he went. Right to the temple. But it's not in any place. Be off watch for Satan. I had a friend of mine. I led him to the Lord, led his wife to the Lord, and he was an F-16 fighter pilot. And he was always telling me about checking six. He said, "We're always checking six." I said, "What do you mean you're checking six?" He's always looking behind us. A couple of weeks ago, we had that training over here, and they were training some procedures that police officers do. And the first thing that they come on the scene, they take four deep breaths. And they look ahead. And they look back. They look up. They look down. They look to the right. They look. They're smelling for gas. They're smelling for a body. They're smelling for blood. They're looking or smelling for blood. You can smell blood if you've ever been around it. And they're doing the 360. They're just checking all this stuff out. Let me tell you something. I think we ought to do that too as a Christian. We ought to be looking around. Looking around. Some people that may be associated with us, we may not want to be around those kind of people. We want to be very careful that we're careful about what we say and what we do around them. Or what we see them doing or what we hear them say. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm a target. You're a target. Y'all understand that? You're a target. Satan wants to ruin you. If he can shut you up about your stinking Christianity, man, you're always talking about it. You're always spouting out about how wonderful God is. You're always talking about how that He takes care of you and supplies your needs and answers your prayers. You're always boasting about that. Hey, you're a target. You're a target. Satan wants to defuse you. He wants you to keep from saying anything about the Almighty God. The holy city is the place where He does the greatest advantage. Tempts men and pride and presumption. I talked to a lady yesterday, 2 days ago on the phone. She talked to me and she says, I saw your church on the internet, and it said you're Montana's friendliest church. And she says, I don't go to church, but I need to be baptized. I said, why don't you go to church? She said, I went to a church in Great Falls. I saw the way the people are dressed and the way the people are living and what they were talking about. She said, I don't want nothing like that. That's not what I wanted about Christianity. Huh. Her name is Jennifer. Pray for her. I've talked to her for over an hour on the phone. She has some tough times in her life. I'd sure like to bring her across the creek, amen, and find out there is a church that people do love you. You know. By the way, I want to personally say this. The other day, I know Rachel was having some, I don't just pretend she's not here, but she was having some difficult times, family, food, and everything. And I called Charlene. I said, Charlene, would you please, let's get some food for them going. All of a sudden, man, I love that Ferris book when it's going like that. You drive me crazy, though. I'm trying to read it all. But anyway, and all of a sudden, and then the other day when she had to have him go in, boom, 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 there it was again. God bless you people. God bless Heritage Baptist Church. But people are looking for a church like that. Not to use, but people need to know that there's some place they can come that can get help. Thank you. An advancement in the world makes a man a mark on him. For Satan to shoot his fiery darts at. Is Satan that well versed in scriptures as to be able to quote it readily? He sure is. And Satan said, it stands written. He misapplied the expression of the psalmist, but he still said the scriptures. Psalm 91 verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee from all thy way. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. Satan misrepresented that in you might call it bald liberalism, including the supernatural fulfillment of these words where they refer only to the providential protection. Satan took Jesus Christ to the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the wings of Herod's royal portico, which overhung the Kidron Valley, which is 450 feet in the air. That's a pretty good-sized building, amen? Sitting right there, Kidron Valley, just goes straight off. Been there, saw it, amen. And he commands the Lord to cast himself off. And Satan misquotes his words. For if we go out of our way, our duty, we forfeit the promise. We are on our own and put ourselves out of God's protection. There's some stupid things you can do. There's some really stupid things. I remember my coach in high school said, he said, guys, he said, this is not how to find out whether you're saved or not. He said, I was traveling down the road. It was over 100 miles an hour in the dark. He turned the lights off and he said, dear God, if you're really real, you'll keep me on the road. That is stupid. Because there's always Black Angus out in Montana. We don't do those things just to prove something. Well, I heard somebody say, well, I'm just putting out the fleece. Well, the Bible said that you don't have to put out the fleece. There are better ways to find out God's will than that. Amen. So, I want to give you the third temptation. Satan tempted Christ to idolatry with the offer of the kingdoms of the world and the glory to them. The glory of the world is the most charming attraction to many people. Temptations into unthinking worry, the rich and the famous, the beautiful and the powerful. Christ was tempted to worship Satan. He rejected the proposal with abhorrence. And he spoke in righteous indignation. He said, get thee hence, Satan, or get thee behind me. Some temptations are open wickedness. And they are not merely opposed, but rejected at once. It is good to be quick and firm resisting temptation. If we resist Satan, he will flee from us. But the soul that deliberates on it almost overturns when he starts thinking, well, maybe. We find but a few can decisively reject some baits that Satan offers. Yet, what is man's profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some of you teenagers are going to run into that someday. Some of you young family members, you're going to run into it someday. The temptation is so strong. Man, get away from it. When that hits, you should say, in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, get the hints. I said, we shouldn't play with that kind of stuff. Leave it alone, amen. In the first temptation, Satan sought to lead Jesus Christ into distress, yet Jesus had asserted perfect confidence in the loyalty towards the Father. Satan had failed to ruin the man Jesus, tempting him through excuse me. The first temptation sought to lead Christ into distrust, yet Jesus asserted the perfect confidence and loyalty towards the Father. Satan had failed to ruin the man Jesus, tempting him through his physical appetite because he put material substance in the secondary place of spiritual bread first. Jesus said, wait a minute. Bread's not what I need. The Word of God is what I need. The second suggestion and measure is the daring and heroic confidence to seek to involve Jesus in the presumption by suggesting him jumping off the pinnacle of the temple was 450 feet down, depending on the Father to bear him up. He had also failed to ruin his spiritual nature through vanity and presumptuous lust. He no ties to deceive him by presenting a quick way to becoming to reality. King of the world. Hey, you'll be the king of the world. You must win the world. And there was a quick and easy way. Satan says, I'll give it to you. Makes me so mad. Satan didn't have no right to give it to him in the first place. That's like going out to your car tonight and say, hey, Pastor Commander, you can have this truck. Or you can have this car. Can't do that. It's not mine to give. Now, if I said to you, hey, you got my truck, I can say whatever I want with it. Now, my bank may want to talk to me about that, but anyway. If Jesus will not follow this way, there is but one other left to choose, and that will be a way from suffering the cross. He will have no political prestige, no power, no friends to help him. It will be a slow process of centuries of time, infinite cost. Millions will go down the wreck and ruin while the mill of God grinds on. Such is the version of the future must have seen by Jesus as he thought of the kingdom, the spiritual way, the straight and narrow. Jesus meets the last temptation with his positive command, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The prince in the light had won over the prince of darkness. Jesus would have to face the allies of Satan at every turn of his ministry and would come to the cross. Don't you think that Jesus knew what was going to happen the next 3.5 years? He knows what's going on, and Satan offered it. This is just the beginning of his earthly ministry. Satan said, hey, I tell you what, you bow down to me and it's all yours. But it wasn't his. Jesus would have faced the allies of Satan in every turn of his ministry and would come to the cross by Satan's wicked method and devices. But he had gained the device victory over the world ruler. And he will win out at the end over all his allies. Every time the sword of the Spirit is whipped out to prove that means the victory for Jesus and defeat for Satan, it will be worth it all. Satan is going to try everything he can to destroy you. He'll bring in people. He'll bring discouragement to you. People that you thought will always be there will quit you. People that you always thought that sat next to you in church, they're going to be gone. Even your family members that you thought that, boy, they never leave. They leave, don't they? Don't they? They leave you. But let me tell you something. Who doesn't leave you? His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And though the troubles come and the heartaches come, it's to make us and so that we bear up and make us stronger. And we realize that, hey, you know what? This is the faith. This is the substance of the faith. We've seen this happen before. We see it happen again. We see it happen again. Hey, hang on. Just hang on. Be faithful. You know what God tells us to? Be faithful. Just be faithful. Take the Word of God. Trust Him and He'll never leave you. Satan, every time he wants to push you to think that you are not important. Well, look at you. Go to that little rinky-dink church. They don't have much going there. Why in the world would you want to ever be part of that? And on and on and on. I want to tell you something. If God leads you here, you better be faithful here.
Amen.
You just be faithful. Just keep at it. Serving God. One of these days, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, we can go many times in our lives and see a lot of things happen. Isn't that amazing? You just sit back and just kind of look at some things, look at some people and say, You know, it's a terrible thing. People put stuff on Facebook now. And you go like, that ain't good, amen? Yeah. Best thing, just don't read it. Our little girl today, she's fighting some real depression. And the reason is social media. And people are saying things about her. I buried a few of those. They couldn't handle it, so they take their dad's rifle or pistol and end it for some stupid, ignorant thing that somebody else said. May I suggest to you, be careful what you say to people. May I suggest you to love them and care for them. Father, help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to know the methodia, the methods, the trickery, the sleight of hand of Satan, who wants to destroy us. Lord God, again, I pray in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that he and his imps of hell would stay away from this place. We'd get something done here. Lord, be with our missionaries tonight that are in the great battles. Be with our friends and family that are in the great battles. May we serve you. May we stay close to you. May we realize that every time that he brings that question, every time he brings that thought that makes us kind of not be sure of ourselves, help us to remember that that is what Satan does. And help us to say, Lord God, I know you love me, and I know you want the best for me. And some of the things you're taking me through right now, they don't feel very good, but I know it's good best for me. And Lord, I know you're trying to prune me. I know you're trying to work on me. So, Lord God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.